Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico today and see all the ways that you could save.
Fantasy, you're in the hole, 6-0-1-0.
Hey, and welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. My name is Daniel Dopp. I am joined here by Mike Clay. It's been a while since we have seen you guys. I've let everybody else sort of take a break for the rest of this offseason, knowing that after the draft, when we come back, is really when everything sort of kicks off. We know where players are going to be at. We'll have new rankings that are coming out. Everybody's got a whole bunch of fun stuff that's happening post-draft. So apologies for not being around the last couple of weeks, but I just wanted to give everyone as much time off as possible, except for Mike. Mike, you look the same.
Yeah. I don't know about that time off you're talking about. What is that? What's time off?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that. Yeah. So, you know, usually I get a little time off after we settle after the draft, right, in the summer, which is a good time to have a little break because, man, there's so much prep to do. You know, I just finished writing some content for a magazine, as well as all of the player capsules that'll be in the mag and on the site. So, I'm ready to go. We could basically start week one because I'm all up to date on everybody, got some nuggets on them all, and I'll be able to share all that after the draft. I'll edit them all, you know, for what happens during the draft, and then we'll get them up there on the site. But it's good to talk to you, my friend, and we'll break down some players here.
Yeah, this will be a lot of fun. It has been a minute, like I said, since we have last podcasted. So we're going to go through a couple things that have happened since then. Don't think this will be a super long show, unfortunately, just because we haven't had a whole lot of movement within the NFL. But still wanted to be able to talk about this because it's been a while. And Mike, it's just been a long time since you and I have been able to sit down and have a conversation. So I want to jump into the Tyreek Hill trade. All right. This one I was shocked by when it happened. Tyreek Hill moving from the Kansas City Chiefs to the Miami Dolphins. And Mike, this leaves me with two questions that I want to ask you. One, Tyreek Hill moving to Miami. We'll get to the Chiefs part of this with Tyreek leaving in a second. With Tyreek Hill coming to Miami, how does his fantasy value change? And two, Jalen Waddle, who had 10 plus targets in 7 games last year and was 7th in receptions per game and had over 100 receptions. How does this affect the budding fantasy superstars value going into next season?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting one. And I think some teams out there right now are looking at what the Bengals did last year, right? Surprising some people by drafting Ja'Marr Chase and basically building one of the best young wide receiver trios in the NFL. And that was a big part of why they made it to the Super Bowl. And wide receiver just seems to be more important than it's ever been in the NFL right now with the big time contracts and the trades and whatever it may be. So Miami obviously did that, and it could make it a little bit tricky from a fantasy perspective because there are lots of mouths to feed. Remember, it's not just Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. You know, they also signed Cedric Wilson. Fine. You know, he's a slot man. We don't want to get too carried away there. But, you know, how about their franchise player, Mike Gesicki? You know, he's got to be a big part here as well. And, you know, it's Mike McDaniel coming from San Francisco. They've predominantly been a run first offense. You know, will that carry over to Miami? If so, that could limit the volume more. Not to mention that we don't know if they have a good quarterback, because Tua Tagovailoa has been extremely conservative so far in the NFL. He has not really been a standout. He has struggled for the most part. And again, part of that's been the fact that he hasn't been too aggressive. And maybe that'll change. Maybe that will change now with, new coaching staff, as well as Tyreek Hill in this offense. But, you know, I think that background's important because it all adds up to pretty much a worse situation for Tyreek Hill. You know, he goes from one of the pass heaviest offense in the NFL over the past few seasons with Andy Reid, and certainly had an elite quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. So, no doubt that he's getting downgraded a bit here, not to mention that he's now 28 years old. And this is, probably still has a couple more really good years left, but, you know, he's not necessarily in his prime here at 24, 25, 26. So, you add all that up, I think you downgrade him a little bit, but this is a guy that can be used all over the field. You know, we saw him as a vertical explosive downfield player for years. And then last year a lot of teams ran too high against the Chiefs and they had to adjust. And we had the career low average depth of target for Tyreek Hill, more shorter throws, but you know, keep in mind, I don't know if people realize this because it kind of felt like a disappointment or a step back for him. And it certainly was in terms of touchdowns, but he had a career high in targets and catches last year, you know? So, you know, I think that still a lot to like here in this offense. He'll design ways to get the ball in his hands to still have a high target share. And he's still a wide receiver one, Daniel, but you know, maybe not a top two or three guy now, but I still think he's a wide receiver one, you know. And as for Jalen Waddle, by the way, you have to downgrade him. Like, you know, I thought he was for sure a back end wide receiver one before this move, you know, but he's going to lose a couple targets. There's no doubt about it. You know, Tyreek Hill is going to demand work and that's going to cost him a little bit, but he's still really good. He'll be used heavily in the short area. Like he was last year, was near the bottom and average depth of target, but saw a lot of volume. Maybe he won't score a ton of touchdowns. A lot of that will be determined by how much of a leap Tua makes. But, you know, this is a guy that could definitely catch 100 balls. You think about, you know, a former Dolphin, Jarvis Landry. You know, that team was not very good for so long, but Landry just soaked up so much in the short area and PPR just had tons of fantasy points despite rarely scoring touchdowns or getting deep downfield. So, that's kind of how I feel about Waddle. Can he be a top 15 receiver and Tyreek be a top 10? Yeah. I definitely think that's possible. Especially if they, you know, are at least a balanced offense or lean toward the run or lean toward the pass. And obviously you just need competent play here from Tua.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
I need to be honest with you. A spider dropped from the ceiling and landed on my microphone. So I probably heard like 12% of what you just said. Cause I was the whole time trying to figure out how not to have this spider like crawl into my face and like get it off without it making a ton of noise and interrupting you. Cause you were on a roll, but I wish that my camera was on so you could have seen what happened because I was terrified because spiders are not my thing. Not into it.
Oh man, that's brutal. I wish that was on video.
It was awful because it dangled right in front of my eyes and I saw it just drop from the ceiling slowly on its little thread and then land right on my microphone right in front of me. Oh,
that would have been great fantasy show content had we had that. Tough break. Terrible.
Okay, so I think what we're walking away with is the idea that, you know, Tyreek Hill is still going to be a wide receiver one, but he's going to be, you know, top five, top seven potentially. You're probably more than top seven, but not quite that top two or three guy like you said. And Jalen Waddle, rather than taking that next step forward, you know, he's probably going to, if he stays where he was at this year, wide receiver 13 or wide receiver 15 in points per game, I'd be really pleased with that.
I definitely think that's possible too. I think he can finish there, but again, a lot of it's going to come down to Tua. You know, how good is he? Is he going to just really hurt this offense and it turns into a disaster because he can't make the leap forward, or is the better surrounding talent? Keep in mind they also signed, you know, offensive line upgrades, Teron Armstead being the big one at left tackle.
Yep.
What's the expression? A rising tide lifts all, something like that. I think that's right. So, you know, maybe all of this talent around him will kind of make Tua look better than perhaps he is. And we've seen that before. You know, we've seen, you know, Blake Bortles have a top 10 fantasy season. We've seen that from Andy Dalton. You know, Mitch Trubisky was solid the 1 year. Chicago's defense was really good. And he ended up with a half decent fantasy season. And, you know, you think about Kirk Cousins, who's probably a little underrated, but he's been flirting with top 10, top 12 numbers with Jefferson and Thielen up there in Minnesota. So, you know, Tua, you know, if he plays average ball and he does help, you know, produce a little with his legs, I think that could be enough to keep these guys afloat in fantasy. And they will, you know, they're going to design play after play after play after play for Waddle and Tyreek Hill with some McKissicky mixed in. So, you know, I think there's reason for optimism with both guys.
Heck yeah. We're going to move on to the Dolphins other trade in a second. But first, I want to look at the Kansas City Chiefs. And understanding, Mike, I want to keep this conversation sort of short because Chiefs have picks 29 and 30 in the first round. I am assuming, as well as a number of people, that they are probably going to address the wide receiver position with one of those two picks. So everything we say here is a little bit, you know, it'll be thrown up into the air once draft hits. We'll find out what happens. But Juju Smith-Schuster and Travis Kelce, you know, tell me who's the other wide receiver that
So they have Juju Smith-Schuster right now with Marcus Valdes-Scantling and Mecole Hardman. It's them three with Travis Kelce at tight end and Edwards Helaire, and they signed Ronald Jones in the backfield. So that's what it's looking like, at least at the moment.
How could I forget Marcus Valdes-Scantling's unbelievable contract. His agent deserves a raise.
So, yeah, 15 million guaranteed. Yes, sir.
Dude, he's incredible. So when you look at that offense, obviously Tyreek Hill leaves, you lose a whole lot of explosiveness there. But, you know, quickly understanding, like I said, they're probably going to address it through the draft and this is all going to shake up afterwards. What do you think when you look at this wide receiving or pass catching core in Kansas City now?
Yeah, it's interesting because with Hardman and Valdez-Scantling, it's hard not to see upside in this offense, right? But, you know, first of all, Hardman, you know, we've been saying that for years. You know, this is his fourth year, believe it or not. He's been around 3 years. He's never had a target share above 13%. So, you know, again, maybe he makes a year four leap in this offense with more work. It's possible. He's been explosive. You know, he's really good after the catch. So maybe he makes a leap. But, you know, obviously there's some red flags that he hasn't emerged just yet. And the same thing goes for Valdez-Scantling, right? I mean, he played, four seasons with the Packers, never higher than 50th in targets, catches, yards, or fantasy points. And I'm told he had a pretty good quarterback up there in Green Bay.
He did.
The name of Aaron Rodgers. So now, you know, now he's in a similar situation, you know, still a pass-first offense, still a high-scoring offense, still a great quarterback. But obviously, you know, the fact that he has not emerged in the pros is definitely a concern. And then Smith-Schuster, look, the dude had 1,400 yards and 7 touchdowns, 111 catches as a 21-year-old in 2018, you know, and he's 2 years ago, he was pretty good as well. I believe he had 100 catches that year as well. Obviously had a lot of short area work, but you know, it's hard to say if it's him, if, you know, if he, you know, got a little beat up and fell off, or it was late career Big Ben just really limiting the passing game. And I think it's probably more that than anything. The guy is still 25 years old. He's going to a much, much more better, more aggressive pass heavy offense. I think there's a lot to be optimistic about. I mean, if there's a concern, it's the fact that he got a low end 1 year deal. And whereas Kansas City was, you know, more than happy to give someone like Valdez-Scantling 15 million, you know, you wonder what that's about. So there's some risk here, Daniel, but I think there should be some optimism with Smith-Schuster, just considering his production so far and his situation here in Kansas City.
Absolutely. I'm 100% with you. I Juju Smith-Schuster and what we've seen from him before, you know, that talent is there, you know, that it exists. Mm-hmm. And so from that standpoint, you put him with a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, you put him in that offense, and hopefully if he wants to continue to get better, man, he's got every opportunity to succeed now. You know what I mean? No offense to the quarterbacks that he's been playing with, but I'm with you. I'm excited about what he could be in this offense. All right. We're going to talk about the Dolphins trade of Devontae Parker. But first, Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
I would.
Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all things in life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. I have two of those. How many of those do you have, Mike? Car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV.
I have a car and an SUV, and that's it.
Okay, so you have two also. I have a car and a motorcycle. And Geico helps with both of us. Even though we're both different people, Geico fits both our needs. They even help with homeowners, condos, or renters coverage. You could save even more with special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes easy with great rates and discounts. So easy, simply go to geico.com to get a quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save today. Visit geico.com. That's geico.com. All right, Mike Clay, as a part of this trade, Devontae Parker became expendable in Miami and was shipped to the New England Patriots. I love Devontae Parker. We've talked about it. I mean, you and I talked about him how many times last year on the CSS DFS podcast, where if he's back and he's healthy, man, he is way too low priced. I understand that's daily fantasy and not season long, but the guy is still talented. What do you think about the opportunity that he's going to have here with Mac Jones now under center rather than being in Miami?
Yeah, I mean, look, he has a path to being a number one perimeter wide receiver for this New England team that, by the way, you know, this offense could be really good. Are we buying on Mac Jones? You know, he was an average starter last year. So we were talking maybe QB 16 to 18 in terms of his efficiency by most metrics, right? So he played pretty well, and that was as a rookie. You know, he was best in that class. If he makes another leap forward, are we talking about like a, you know, a major leap like Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow, or dare I say Mahomes? You know, does he make a huge leap? It's possible. And if that happens, if Parker plays, you know, 14, 15 games, look out. You know, he could be tremendous in fantasy. And by the way, he was pretty good last year. You know, you look at his 10 active weeks, he was top 35 in fantasy points. So, you know, I'm not talking, you know, wide receiver one, but at least giving you wide receiver three, maybe sometimes wide receiver two numbers. And that's pretty much been a trend throughout his career, right? Durability has been a problem. He's played only one full season in 7 years in the league. And as a result, you haven't really seen this season ending high-end fantasy finishes. He did have one 2019. He held up and was 11th. But the guy is super talented. Probably is a couple of years left of strong plays, 29 years old. You have to expect some missed games, but there's an opportunity for him to be in every down force on the perimeter. He specifically picked New England. That's where he wanted to go. He has some relationship with Mac Jones, which is always good. So like this a lot. The, you know, if there's a concern, obviously it's just that New England likes to spread the ball around quite a bit. Kendrick Bourne was really, really effective last season. He'll be there. Nelson Aguilar will be mixed in. Jacoby Myers, extremely busy as a short range slot target. Obviously, Hunter Henry produced more and more as the season went on. Jonnu Smith, they want to use more this year, although I'm not too worried about that. And of course, James White comes back from injury, and New England always utilizes their backs in the passing game. So there's some concerns here, but can we get Parker to a 20% target share? And will that allow top 30, 35 numbers? Absolutely. I definitely think that's possible. So liking Parker here, we'll see where his ADP falls, but this is a guy that I think can be a guy we're talking about in starting lineups in fantasy throughout the 2022 season.
Yeah, I think he's, for me, going to be at least a flex option most weeks when I look at this, because nobody else in this offense, and it's no offense to any of the rest of these guys, and you're right, I like Jacoby Myers. Kendrick Bourne has looked nice, but I just think Devontae Parker is far and away a better wide receiver than them when he's on the field, right? And that's always been the knock. He's just got to be able to stay on the field. I'm excited to see him with Mac Jones. I think it'll be really interesting to see. And if I was New England also, I would definitely try to get Jonnu Smith more involved based on how much money I'm giving him. Like, yes, please pass the ball to him more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that obviously didn't work out last year. I mean, he progressively was phased out. But, you know, they phased the fullback out of their offense now. You know, it's something we've seen. You think about a guy like James Devlin being involved. Josh McDaniels is gone, and it sounds like the fullback's no longer a position on that roster. So now maybe Jonnu Smith plays more of that H-back role and handles some of that. Probably not going to be good in fantasy, but they could have some design plays for him, much like how he was utilized in Tennessee. So, we'll see how that offense comes together. Not looking at Smith in fantasy for sure, but if they're designing a few plays for him a game, that's going to take away from other guys. But again, I think we're on the same page here with Parker's value.
Heck yeah. All right, I want to talk about one more thing, Mike, and this is totally speculative, but it has come out recently that every wide receiver in the NFL is upset because other people are getting paid more than they are. And so Debo Samuel now demanding a trade. And I'm not, like, I say that obviously in jest. I'm not saying that players shouldn't, you know, get paid what they're worth or any of those things like that. I was trying to make a joke. But the fun part of it is, okay, in fantasy, that means there's going to be some movement potentially. Obviously, this is just speculation. We'll see what happens. But if Debo Samuel moves from the offense that he's in to another offense, you know, how do you see other teams being able to utilize him and what his ceiling could potentially be elsewhere?
Yeah, well, I mean, we saw a ceiling last year, right? I mean, a lot of people talk about, and we've seen this since the reports came out that he wanted to be traded, where, you know, well, his value comes from his hybrid role, right? Like he didn't really hit his stride until he was switched to handling 6 or 7 carries a game and his targets went down and he was more of a dual position player. Well, that's not true. I mean, he actually averaged more scrimmage yards per game before the change when he was exclusively a wide receiver. And he was second in fantasy points at wide receiver before the change. So he was already producing elite wide receiver numbers. Now, certainly being, you know, a hybrid player, a versatile player adds value to a team. There's no doubt about that. But to suggest that he's not an elite receiver, he's just an elite hybrid player, that's obviously not true. So I lay that out to answer your question, because if he goes elsewhere, and just plays wide receiver, there's no doubt he'd still be a tremendous fantasy asset, NFL contributor, and earn a high-end contract. This is a guy that's, you know, when he has carried the ball, has been elite, 6.2 yards per carry per his career, which is ridiculous. And wow, since he was drafted, averaging 9.7 yards after the catch, which is highest in the NFL. I mean, the guy is unbelievably good. Again, versatile. Even if he's mostly a wide receiver, he can handle the occasional carry. He will be extremely productive. We'll see what happens. I'll be surprised if he's traded, honestly, unless he really puts his foot down and won't play. But, I think it's probably less about money for him. It's probably shelf life. You know, I think if for this situation, it doesn't make a lot of sense, you know, getting so much volume and production and being the centerpiece of that 49ers offense, and they're willing to pay him and then he wants to leave, doesn't make sense. The only thing that makes sense is that he doesn't want to handle all of those carries because, you know, he's no fool. You look around the NFL, running backs are out of the league by 28 years old, you know, and if you want to stick around till 31, 32 and get an extra high-end contract, playing wide receiver makes the most sense. I mean, you even saw Le'Veon Bell tweeting the other day saying, you know, if he could do it all again, he would switch to receiver because he might still be playing. You know what I mean? His shelf life got crushed, and he was a standout as a pass catcher, but he was also running the ball a lot. And that obviously took a toll on his body. And that's going to happen to Samuel too. He actually missed a game late last season because he was taking a whole bunch of hits. So I kind of understand that. We'll see what happens. We'll see if maybe he sticks around and they reduce his role on the ground, or if he is moved and just plays wide receiver elsewhere. And again, I'm speculating. I don't know that for sure. There are some reports that that's what he's concerned about. But if he is, he's right. You know, I would feel the same. So anyway, regardless of where he lands, the guy is a superstar. If a team, you know, if he sticks around, we know what his value is. If he goes elsewhere, a team traded a fortune for him for a reason, and he'll be a featured player. So not too worried about Samuel. If I have him in Dynasty or Keeper, whatever it may be, the guy is a certified star.
If I'm a Brandon Ayuk manager in Dynasty or in a Keeper league, would I be thrilled that Deebo Samuel gets traded? Or do I like the fact that Deebo was on the other side, and hopefully now that Brandon Ayuk is going to be out of the doghouse this next season, he'll actually be a better complement alongside Deebo?
Yeah, if I had Ayuk, I would be happier if Samuel got traded because he's the next man up, right? Samuel's out, they'll get picks, and then they'll most likely draft someone who will be a complimentary receiver, at least out of the gate. Now, who knows? I mean, that player they draft could be the next, I don't want to say Jamar Chase, that's the extreme, but a really good player, and that could kind of put Ayuk back where he was. But
like Amon-Ra St. Brown type, you want to say?
Precisely, really good. Yeah. So, he started out so slow that, you know, that would actually help Ayuk in that circumstance. But nonetheless, the answer is if I have Ayuk on a dynasty roster and they trade Samuel, I'm happier than I was yesterday, right? Because his volume is going to go up, and San Francisco under Kyle Shanahan is famous or infamous, depending on how you want to look at it, for picking out a guy going into a week and deciding to feature that player. It doesn't matter if it's Deebo or Ayuk or Richie James, if no one else is there, or George Kittle. Never know.
Forget about him. Yeah, he's still pretty good too.
he is, but inconsistent because sometimes they don't use him because they decide you're blocking this week. We're going to throw it a million times to Ayuk, you know? So it really depends on who's there, but I'll tell you what, if there's no Deebo and Ayuk's the number one receiver, they're going to come out with a plan to probably get him 9 or 10 targets a game because that's how Shanahan has operated. So I would be happier in that situation, but you know, again, we'll talk more about that if that does in fact happen, because as of now, the 49ers say they are not trading Deebo Samuel. Now, we've heard that before from teams and they end up having to make the move. You know, think about Russell Wilson with Seattle or just a few months ago, they weren't trading him.
Yeah.
So that stuff happens all the time. So
again, wasn't trading OBJ, right? Weren't the Giants definitely not trading?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You hear that stuff all the time, but, we'll see what happens, but both of these guys definitely in an interesting spot right now.
All right. That's going to do it for us here. Thank you so much for hanging out with us for these last, whatever it's been, 20, 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. Mike and I, we're going to hang out actually, on ESPN. Do you know what we're doing during the draft? Mike and I are doing some draft stuff. Do you know where it's going to be, housed, where people would be able to watch us digitally? Is that going to be on the ESPN app? Is that going to be on ESPN Plus? I'm actually not totally sure. We should figure this out so we can tell people.
Way to be prepared. Way to prepare for the show, Daniel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could have just not said anything and just waited. We could have tweeted out later.
Yeah, but that'll be fun. Actually, we have a meeting about that Monday. Do a little bowling and talk a little shop. So looking forward to that next weekend. I'll be doing a live blog during the draft. So up at ESPN.com in the fantasy section, days one and two. Every time there's a pick, I'll have a live early projection with some analysis ready to roll. We'll be tweeting all that fun stuff. And then, of course, on day three, Saturday, again, you and I will be during the final two rounds of the draft doing that digital show and just basically talking about all the impact from the first five, six, seven rounds of the draft. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, once the draft's over, Daniel, you know, it's on. You know, we're pretty set on rosters and it's go time.
Heck yeah. I am stoked. I am really excited. It'll be a lot of fun to be able to start analyzing things and really start diving deep now that we can see rosters starting to flesh themselves out a little bit more. Yep. And like you said, I'll see you on Monday. Did you know that last week I left my bowling ball at home? And so I bowled a 218 and a 201 with a lane ball, Mike Clay. A lane ball.
Wow. Putting the pressure on for sure. So we'll see. I haven't bowled in a while. So I'm excited to, what do you say? Roll the ball? Roll it?
Yeah. I'm excited
to get rolling. I don't know.
I love you.
Let's roll.
Bye.
He's a NASCAR guy with a base to try, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac on the case, with projections that can put us in first place. He's a brainiac, he's Mike Clay.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.